Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Paul Kaharski from Outkick 360 and PaulKaharski.com. PK, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good morning, boys. I'll take a minute here to commend you, since you won't do it yourself, and since Joe doesn't know how to read ratings, to commend you on your ratings gains, which I was making fun of Joe a few months ago for them being poor. They are on the rise to an impressive degree. I don't know why I have to be your ratings manager and that Joe was incapable of handling it, but I'm monitoring them closely, and they're doing very well, and I commend you, and they're excellent for this segment.
Are you monitoring fantasy football scores, Paul?
Oh, did you finally pull off a win there, Joe?
Oh, you know I did, my friend. And as the defending champion of the Titans Media League, Fantasy Football League, I have had a rough year, but I feel like this may be the turning point, beating you down this week. So thank you for that also. Thank you for many things.
I have two jobs and a life, so fantasy football's not that big to me. It's much like being a college football fan. Like, I graduated college, then I moved on to, like, pro.
Yeah.
Just totally not having Rex Road smack talk of the Fantasy Football League. Well, Paul, we appreciate you joining us today. Appreciate the kind words. And as you look at this Titans team, obviously 2-0 without Derrick Henry. So if you're in a good spot, you're in first place in the AFC, everything's going well right now for the Titans. But how, as a fan, do you balance what you've seen so far on the field in terms of you're finding ways to win games and also watching what we've seen offensively the last couple of weeks without Derrick Henry, albeit in two wins?
Well, two really good defenses is one thing that offsets it. So I don't think you panic too much about what's happened offensively the last 2 weeks. It's become a little bit of a defensive football team, which is just fine. But the same way I wouldn't panic about what's happened the last 2 weeks, I wouldn't throw a parade after they beat the hell out of the Texans this week and find an offensive groove, presumably. I think things will probably come to an end on the win side in New England, considering how well things are going for the Patriots, and then they get the glorious bye that they've been waiting for. Look, I mean, Vrabel was making fun of us for asking all the same questions, but it's the same story every week with the resiliency. And, you figure this is an A.J. Brown-led team now, and then he does virtually nothing. We finally see the Marcus Johnson that we saw in training camp, and they just are finding ways. It does get a little tiresome and repetitive, but they're doing the same thing over and over to an impressive degree. I think the concern now, I mean, clearly they're winning the division. They might get the number one seed because they're really only two losable games if things play out. By the numbers, the rest of the way could be the number one seed. It's all about what they can do in the playoffs. I think people are counting too much on Derrick Henry returning and being what he was, on Julio Jones getting healthy and being what he should be. It's a little bit of a crapshoot once those playoffs start, and it's going to be much tougher competition than they see in the next few weeks.
So what do you think about, first of all, the move to put Julio Jones on IR? I guess I feel like at least Todd Downing knows what he's going with the next couple weeks, and then maybe it'll make a difference. And what do you think of his chance? I mean, we know Derrick Henry, like, we're going to all have to wait and see, right? But with Julio in particular, what do you think about his chances of actually getting back getting to the point of being a weekly contributor and actually making a difference for this team?
Yeah, I'm not counting on anything from Julio Jones until I see something from Julio Jones. I don't see what the big deal about the IR thing is. I mean, when he sits out a couple weeks not on IR, what's the difference? What's the difference with the designation? He's out a month now, and we don't have to have him stand in front of us on Friday pretending like he's not hurt when he's clearly hurt. That's a bit of a relief for me personally, so I'll take it from a selfish angle. But we've seen him really be himself for the Seattle game and maybe 2 weeks ago. And I don't think right now when he's back on the field, he's doing the things that we expected him to do here, altering coverage, making people pick their poison, anything like that. I asked him, Joe, last time we talked to him, you know, what's the primary receiving threat on this team? He gave the right answer, AJ. And so I think right now, no matter who the second receiver is, people are honed in on AJ, who didn't have very good games against Jalen Ramsey and partially against Marshon Lattimore, which is a concern, I think. And Julio Jones is gravy.
Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com, Outkick 360 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, PK, defensively, obviously the front four generating a lot of attention the last couple of weeks. Jeffrey Simmons has been a monster the last couple of games. How concerned are you about Bud Dupree and the abdominal injury and what that might do to the front four as a whole?
Yeah, I'm usually able to make some headway on some of those injuries, and the Dupree stuff has been completely quiet. It's awfully weird that he played one snap. I don't think anybody saw anything happen. But for him to be declared, the Titans don't declare guys out very quickly, if at all, in game. So for him not to be questionable to return right away was concerning. Abdominal covers a lot of different stuff. I'm concerned. And then they're thin out there. I mean, Ola Denny should play a lot. Autry's playing outside a lot. Landry doesn't come off the field hardly at all as it is, but it'd be a big loss because he's been coming on and really rounding out that four. Though I think that their front four will still continue to get it done without him. That'd be a big disappointing blow if he's lost for a significant amount of time or for the whole deal.
Paul, I want to get your thoughts on the A.J. Brown post and sort of the larger discussion there. We were talking about it last segment, even taking it to the Isaiah Wilson thing, Taylor Lewan, and sort of how he talked about, you know, being booed and things like that. I'm just curious, first of all, like your reaction to his post when you first saw it, AJ's post, and then Vrabel's comments yesterday. And, like, do you look at these things differently now, given, I think, especially the past few years, mental health being a much more open discussion in this world, in this professional sports world? Like, have you altered the way you look at things, write about things, anything like that based on that?
Well, in 1995, when I started on an NFL beat, you know, nobody was saying anything close to what A.J. Brown was saying, so there was no way to really look at it. But, yeah, when you heard that maybe a guy was having a hard time or something like that, you usually wouldn't hear it. And if you did hear it, you know, the general feeling was that a guy needed to suck it up and get out there. And that's not the feeling anymore. They've become a lot more human and a lot more like us, in part, thankfully, because a guy like A.J. Brown will step up and talk about it. I wish more people had taken it in context. Like, I had people on my Twitter timeline saying A.J. should go on IR and take some time to gather himself when he was talking about, something that he endured a year ago. or considered a year ago. It's certainly a healthy conversation for everybody. I think when you see athletes talking about it, who we still tend to think of, you know, as big and strong and invincible, I would think that there are kids and people out there that see that, and it makes it easier for them to talk to somebody, to seek help, to know that it's not a problem that's exclusive to them, which is healthier for everybody, which, you know, Vrabel was touching on yesterday, which is the big healthy theme for everybody. That's nothing to be ashamed of. If you've got personal stuff going on, and if you're feeling like AJ described, and that there are resources to help everybody and not to be afraid to go seek those out.
PK, the numbers would suggest that Ryan Tannehill is regressing this year. And, you know, we've talked about that a lot here on the show and the different factors that could play into that. Do you buy into a significant regression from Tannehill? What have been your thoughts on the way that he's played so far this year? I think we may have lost PK.
PK's flip phone has betrayed him.
I'll call.
There he is. There he's back. There we go.
God, I moved like 4 feet. he's thrown some really bad interceptions, which to me is the biggest thing. The play action is probably not going to be as good, though it's not been bad since Henry's gone down. But the number one thing is those interceptions, and we didn't see one this week, but he's got to be more careful with the ball. You know, we didn't talk much about that fumble because it advanced to a first down that AJ recovered very nicely. But he certainly isn't playing to the level that he played the last 2 years. So he has regressed a bit, but he hasn't regressed to a level where he can't be who they need him to be. And you know, advance very far with him as the quarterback. But I do think he needs to tighten some stuff up and not throw some of those riskier passes that he hasn't gotten away with that could really bite them against a good team in a crucial situation.
Headline, PK says, tighten up, Tannehill. So on the Tannehill front, what of the external factors around him, you know, the factors around him, what do you think would be the biggest one that has hurt him?
Yeah, I mean, no reliable second option. I mean, I know that you, Joe, were on board with this Firkser is Jonnu Smith train that ran out of control all offseason that I tried to tamp down. Firkser's turned into an absolute nobody. He's not even on the field. The guy, the tight end that's getting the catches is Swaim. Gee, why is that? Because Swaim's on the field because he can block. So all these Firkser worshipers, you know, and Firkser we trust and all of this stuff, I don't know where they are now. I'm not hearing from them on my Twitter timeline. He's disappeared. I mean, Marcus Johnson's game was very encouraging. It doesn't have to be him every week, but there needs to be some secondary option to A.J. Brown. He's probably not going to pull coverage away, but he's got to take advantage of the single coverage that he's got and be some kind of reliable second option for Tannehill that they've got somewhere reliable to go. Because this team, we talked all about this triumvirate of weapons, and now it's AJ and who? To me, that's the biggest thing. And the offensive line needs to get 5 guys in there that play all the snaps. I got crucified for daring to ask Lawan about disappearing, you know, and he gave me a elemental lesson on dehydration. And I said, there are a whole bunch of guys out there who weren't dehydrated, you know. It's not like a routine thing in a league for offensive linemen to come out for IVs in the middle of games. And as soon as he comes out of the game, Kendall Lamb, who's been a brutal signing, gets run over and gives up a sack.
The Firkshippers. I hadn't thought
That's
about that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, well, the correct answer there was, I think, protection. But I think those are the clear top two.
Although I will say that the Kevin Byard Firkser comments on top flight tight end not looking great so far. PK, That's true. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Yeah,
Paul
Joe endorsed those comments. Joe, I think Joe was into Firkser right after NWI.
What about Marcus Johnson? Who said Marcus Johnson was going to be good? And who ripped me before the game Sunday? And who got what?
We all loved Marcus Johnson. Anybody with eyes loved Marcus Johnson at camp.
And before,
but, you know, there were nine games. There were nine games during which Marcus Johnson didn't do a damn thing.
Right. And then
he's
before,
allowed to do something in the first nine games.
And before the game Sunday, I said, watch out for Marcus Johnson. And what did Paul say? Oh, you're training camp heroes. And what happened in the game? And then who ripped Kaharski in the press box? That's right.
That's great. That's great that he did something in
the
10th game. But what about the first nine games?
Well, I don't know. He was hurt.
A pat on the head for finally showing up. I'm going to observe the whole body of work, not one game, and give out a lollipop.
Paul Kaharski from Outkick 360, paulkaharski.com has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. PK, appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, boys.
Absolutely. Paul Kaharski joins us here on the program.
Tough day for him, taking that L, man.
I really love it when you two get on together. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, Me too, Rob.
Well, but really what we should do sometime is have Kaharski and Glennon at the same time. You want to talk about basically reenacting the movie Grumpy Old Men, Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon. I mean, boomers going at it. It is great stuff.
We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Paul had to say there. Take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Mike Vrabel and Paul Kaharski yesterday to close out Vrabel's press conference there.
Also some good banter between those two at times. Yeah, that was – why didn't we ask Kaharski about that question?
I get what he was going for there. He was trying to make a joke, I think.
Yeah. Isn't it ironic, don't you think?
Great song.
No, it's not a great song. Don't get me started on Alanis Morissette's debut album.
You don't like that song?
No. God, no.
Really?
No, I'm sorry.
You're quite the music critic, Joe.
Well, I know, and some people say music snob, but you know what? Hall & Oates just put out a thing asking fans to rank the top 10 Hall & Oates songs, which I'm going to do today, and I'm very excited about it. So you can't tell me I'm a music snob. I just don't like, you know, we all like what we like, right? That album is college and some of my girlfriends, not like girlfriends, but, you know,
Joe.
Well, no, I mean, they're still friends of mine, but they were hugely into that album.
Well, it came out in 96, so I figured you'd be all over it.
And, man, did I hate it back then. But I actually liked her second album, so just saying.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, Paul, interesting. I guess it was kind of like, trying to have a light moment there.
Yeah.
Just sort of fell flat, just like your fantasy football team last night. That's okay.
Fantasy football defending champion, Joe Rexroad of the Titans Media League.
I mean, I got to have something with considering the worst fantasy football team ever constructed is in the Robbie and Rexroad. I mean, it's got to be – it's easily the worst team I've ever had. It is cheeks to the max.
I think I beat you by like 60 points.
Well, what did you beat me by, Robbie?
It was like 110 to 43 or something.
Brennan beat me. I mean, it's cheeks all day.
It's not good. It's okay. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a lot of people that love the Kaharski versus Rexroad back and forth on the text line.
Well,
full disclosure, you two actually do like each other.
Yeah, mildly. Like I like Paul. He makes things more fun. In 2037, when the Paul and Jared show is a thing, I look forward to arguing with both.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, their destiny.
What do you make of the Tannehill discussion there? We've seen even more of it this week. I saw some people on Twitter yesterday talking about big regression from Tannehill. You shared the numbers earlier of what service was it? The computer, whoever that you get, people have at the Athletic. How many guys y'all got?
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff. In fact, did I follow him?
I mean,
there's
still a
lot of people at the Athletic I don't follow, which, you know, I'm catching up here. This was an advanced stats driven evaluation. It's not Pro Football Focus, which is good because Pro Football Focus grades are, you know,
cheeks.
I mean, they're not very good. So this is, okay, Computer Cowboy, okay, Ben B. Baldwin, I am now going to follow.
It's a great name.
Computer Cowboy. It is a great name. So this is production-based measures of QB play, okay? It's a predictive EPA, that CPOE index. I know some people are going to totally glaze over and say, yeah, great. Now, here's an interesting thing on this graph, by the way. They take a shot at PFF. PFF dislikes play relative to production, they say on this. So this is like taking a shot at PFF. Or is it? Is this related to PFF? I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, there's a million things like this out there. I think that there is some value in them. Just in terms of if you just go by straight up numbers, I mean Ryan Tannehill's performance from last year to this year, I don't think is nearly the drop off the numbers suggest. I personally don't think so. I definitely agree with anybody who says you have to clean up the what are you doing picks. I think that's probably somewhat related to some of these external factors too, but in this. Rating, the number one rated QB in the league this year is Tom Brady.
The Pharaoh.
Number two is Kirk Cousins. Number three is Ryan Tannehill. Number four is Justin Herbert. Number five is Mac Jones. I think that'd be a surprise for the people who think Tannehill has just fallen off a cliff. I don't think he's fallen off a cliff. I think that there's a lot of things that have gone on, and he has to clean things up. He tried to throw a pick the other day that would have been real bad, and he got bailed out. Other than that play, I thought he was awfully good the other day.
Yeah.
I mean,
he got roughed on that play, too.
You have too many, you have too many other than that play situations, and eventually it becomes a problem.
Matt from Camden on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Did y'all see where Fulton was on the field for 40-something snaps and was only targeted once, and that was a pass defensed? If he could stay healthy, he's playing at an elite level.
That exact number was cited yesterday in top three from the Titans game.
That's right.
So, yeah. No, he's we don't talk enough about the good news for the Titans on the health front because there isn't much, but he certainly counts. Getting him back, if he can stay out there the rest of the way, obviously, Chris Jackson got picked on big time in this game, but I still feel pretty good about their corner group in tandem with the pass rush. Even if, and I agree with Paul, Bud Dupree would be a huge loss. And
so by the way, not much on him yesterday in terms of anything from Vrabel, which not unexpected in that regard.
No, not unexpected. I agree with Paul. It's a little bit, it's a little bit interesting how quiet it's been around Bud Dupree and that injury. But even without him, I still think that you got three guys who are playing at a very high level, and you get Fulton back in there. You need to get David Long back in there. They missed him. They missed David Long for sure in this game. And this defense can get you some wins.
Coming up next, we'll get into the Nashville Predators, including why there's one trade that David Poile made that's really difficult to determine who a winner is at this point. We'll get into more of that coming up next. Attention, men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hello there. That's right, guys. We have a major breakthrough. If you're frustrated in the bedroom, maybe you're sick of the pill, you want better performance, or you've got severe erectile dysfunction, we've seen it all. The acoustic wave therapy at Hillside Medical is clinically proven to repair your blood vessels, improve circulation, and after 30 years of side effects, we have something that doesn't create headaches. It's repairing the circulation and getting the blood flowing where you want it, when you want it.
So, Andrew, what kinds of studies have been done on this technology?
We have 50 clinical studies now backing our technology. Most people have heard of Cambridge University. They tested our technology on men with severe erectile dysfunction, showed a very high success rate, showed it's totally safe, and it has been called the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And Andrew, you have a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
We do. If you're ready to regain your love life, guys, dial this number now. We're answering phones this morning. The assessment exam and blood flow ultrasound, it's free today. and a gift that you'll love. It produces immediate results in the bedroom, worth hundreds of dollars. It's free to callers now.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer. 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic now at 615-576-5000. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway prior to the Titans taking on the Houston Texans. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports to begin the 9 o'clock hour. So looking forward to that conversation coming up here in about 30 minutes or so. Always fun with Charles. Joe Rexroad, it's interesting right now as we evaluate the Predators. Obviously, they're 9-5-1. They'll be in action tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll have Preds Pick the Click coming up a little bit later at 9:45. And the Predators have had their schedule disrupted a little bit this week with some COVID issues from the Ottawa Senators. They will not be playing in Ottawa on Thursday. So some adjustments have to be made there. But one thing that was kind of being talked about yesterday, as the news came out that Ryan Ellis suffered another injury, re-injured himself after he'd only been, I think he'd played three games up until that point, came back in against Dallas the other night for the Flyers, re-injures himself, and is now week to week with a lower body injury. How do we evaluate the Ryan Ellis trade so far? You look at the Predators defensively, quite frankly, doesn't look like they're missing him all that much. They've played pretty well defensively. You know, he's a guy that he's got 5 points in four games played this year. He's a good player when he's out there and is available. But he is 30 years old. Injuries have been a problem for him the last few years. And that's, you know, over $6 million of a cap hit that's now off the book for the Predators. And, you know, you look at the return that you got for Ryan Ellis. Cody Glass has not played a game for you or not been a factor for you so far this season. Got two games in, got sent back down to Milwaukee. Philip Myers has been a healthy scratch at different points this year. So how do we evaluate what that trade looks like right now, where at the moment, obviously very early into the season, doesn't look like a huge win for either side at the moment?
Right. I mean, to me, it's like if you're winning and doing well, then it looks a lot better because, as you said, I mean, they are playing well in the defense corps and they got rid of the salary. And it was a contract that you needed to get rid of. But, of course, that's also, I guess, a problem. If you have too many of those, it's certainly an underwhelming return right now. There's no doubt about it. So if the team goes into a bad stretch and you're still getting, you know, like nothing, like Cody Glass is just non-factor. And, you know, and then also it depends on what he's doing. Does he get healthy? Does he get on a roll? And it looks worse. Right now, I don't think it looks too bad because you've given yourself an opportunity to do something in the future with that money. And you are playing well.
Yeah, I mean, look, the answer to this question ultimately is going to be, what does Cody Glass turn into? Now, he's got 9 points in 10 games in Milwaukee. All of them are assists. So he's got 9 assists in 10 games in Milwaukee. I think it was pretty clear based on some of the comments that David Poile had earlier this year that Cody Glass just wasn't ready to play and contribute in this lineup. So Tommy Novak comes in. You know, they've had some injuries that have cropped up and some situations they've had to deal with, and Cody Glass, still down in Milwaukee, has not been called up since then. So, you know, it's a trade right now that looks underwhelming in terms of the return. I watch Ryan Ellis play, and as good of a player as I still believe he is, which I know Preds Facebook sometimes thinks that like Ryan Ellis was the worst defenseman they've ever had. Ryan Ellis was largely pretty good. He got pushed around in the playoffs some, and I think his size became an issue in some situations, but largely Ryan Ellis is still a pretty good player. You know, I do think it's a good move from the Predators to get out from under that contract, because I don't think that contract is going to age well based on his availability and the injuries that he's already having issues with. So it's kind of an interesting way to look at it in terms of it's good that you get the contract off your books. You need to see Cody Glass turn into something, because I you know, Philip Myers, no disrespect to him, I think he can be a serviceable third pair defenseman in this league, but that's about it. Like, this idea that some people had that Philip Myers is going to turn into a top four defenseman, it's not going to happen. I'm here to tell you, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, Cody Glass, you gotta think you can get something out of him at some point. Maybe the expectations have changed. Maybe the perceived ceiling is lower, but I mean, he's got to be able to play for you, right? At some point,
yeah.
You would think, you would hope.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, obviously I've not sit here and watched what he's done in Milwaukee. I have, and I just got a text from somebody who says he's been underwhelming so far in Milwaukee. Like, you know, it's easy to look at the box score and say 9 points, 10 games, must be doing something right. But you would like to see a guy that was drafted 6th overall and you thought might have a significant role in your NHL squad this year. It'd be nice to see him go down to Milwaukee and just totally light it up. And it's not really happening. I mean, he doesn't have a goal yet.
Yeah, not great. But again, if you are playing well, if you are solid and better in your defense core and you win, and then, you know, it's also like down the road, you know, you've given yourself an opportunity to do something else. You're trying to invest in something next offseason. If that all works out well, then fine. I mean, you can live with not getting a ton from Cody Glass. The minute it goes the other way, then it's like, man, this was a bad return.
Yeah, Sean texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The win on Ellis was never about the return. It was about getting a $6 million injury-prone guy off the books. And I hear that. I agree with that to a large degree. But, I mean, you need some return for Ryan Ellis, too. I mean, he's still a good player that you've gotten rid of that can help you in the short term, at least.
Yeah, and again, so if he goes on to get healthy, have a good season, and you have nothing in return, yes, you still have gotten away from that deal, which is great. But, I mean, there's a reason you also signed him to that deal at some point. I mean, he's been a really good player for this franchise.
It is kind of amazing, though. I mean, you look at this Predators defense core. Obviously, we knew about Ekholm and Josi. Carrier's looked pretty good. Dante Fabro's looked pretty good for the most part so far. I mean, if this is what they're going to be all year long, it's possible that, you know, I don't know that the defense core is better than it was a year ago, but it's probably at least as good. And it's certainly cheaper with Ekholm. Remember, his contract not kicking in until next season when the big cap hit comes with him. So, in a decent spot moving forward with that defense core.
Yeah, I mean, Carrier, and by the way, there's way too much Carrier out there.
There's a lot of Carrier.
But Carrier.
There's some Carrier out there. Carrier.
You know, speaking of which, like, how many – we got a real problem with a guy who played at Tennessee and Kamara, guys.
Yeah,
his name is Alvin Kamara, which he's made very clear.
Yeah,
there's a ton of people in this market calling him Kamara still.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we're gonna have to be the pronunciation police for everyone out there.
I think so.
I'm sure we screw
things up.
And grammar
police.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I still don't know what I'm doing with Saros and Saros. It's a mind bender. But Carrier is one of those guys from last year, like Jeannot, and even like Saros, you know, played so well during that turnaround to get in the playoffs. And he's like, okay, let's see a little bit more of that. Is that actually him? And I think in all three of those cases, the answer is yes, yes, yes.
I think so, too. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators when we come back. Are you a believer that Matt Duchene has turned his game around, that this is the Matt Duchene we're going to see for the Predators the rest of the season? We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game this Saturday night for the Bud Light Preds Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. There will be great drink specials. You can enter to win Preds tickets to an upcoming home game and watch the Preds take on the Montreal Canadiens. So join us this Saturday night at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 6 p.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Okay, did you know that one, Michelle?
No, I didn't know that one.
But it was kind of rocking, right?
It was rocking. It was good. I feel like I can't see you guys. I need to push my chair up.
Yeah. ZZ Top Legs.
Yeah.
Great video.
Oh, Chase McCabe just texted in and said that's his favorite ZZ Top. Is it ZZ Toppin or ZZ Top?
ZZ Top.
Oh, got it.
You're trying to pretend like you're not becoming a ZZ Top fan.
I'm kind of loving
it
a little bit.
Before our eyes. And by the way, Ryan Porth texts in and says that I am a music snob. Well, I just put together my top 10 list of Hall & Oates songs. I love Hall & Oates. And I don't think that you can be a music snob if you love Hall & Oates this much, can you?
You're a little bit of a music snob.
But is that a music snob band? That's not a music snob band. That's like 80s.
No.
You know, pop.
You just.
How would I be a music snob if I loved them that much?
Well,
but if somebody said they didn't like them, that would get you heated, I feel like.
No, I don't get heated by that. That's fine. Like, Robbie's saying the Beatles suck. I mean, I just feel sad for them. Like, that's like, what? But someone not liking Hall & Oates. Yeah, it's fine.
You know, I've gotten a groundswell of support on my, the Beatles just aren't very good take that I have.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of opinions that are very popular out there that are also dumb.
Jared Stillman on Twitter says, okay, boomer, calling your, responding to your Hall & Oates list. So there you go.
Well, my response is, and I was thinking about this yesterday, seriously, I didn't just come up with this, is there a more annoying collection of notes than like what is their intro song? Please change it. Caroline Fenton, please pick a actual song. Jared wouldn't like leave him out of it. Like, sir, what is that?
I don't know.
What are you talking
about? I didn't
about?
Pick it. The intro to their show?
The intro to their show.
Oh.
Well, yeah, like Joe's acting like everybody's supposed to recognize what he's doing there.
What are you doing, Joe?
Well, I mean, if you listen to their show.
No, yes, I know what you're talking about.
At the top of every hour, you have to hear this crap. What is it?
Hey, see? Here he is again, being a music snob.
Well, dude, it's like Muzak of, I don't even know. Like, come
Muzak?
On. You don't have to be like a music snob to be like, what the hell is that? Pick a song.
Boomer. See if they can get started on that.
Boomer.
There you go.
I'm not the boomer.
Director Matt Duchene. Matt Duchene, 16 points, 15 games, 9 goals on an absolute heater right now. He has scored a goal, at least one goal, in each of his last 3 games, 4 of the last 5. Playing pretty well right now for this Nashville Predators team. My question to you is, are you sold yet that Matt Duchene has turned it around? And if not, how long do you need to see him play like this before you are sold that he's turned it around?
Well, I mean, he's not going to play like this all year, so we know this. I mean, he's not going to produce like this all year. I should say that.
I think he could play like this.
Yeah, he could play like this all year. He's not going to. What's his shot percentage right now?
20.5%.
Yeah, you know. That's going to go down and all that stuff, and there's going to be a leveling off to a certain extent. But, gosh, it's awfully impressive, and it doesn't feel fluky when you watch him play, you know? So I feel like he's on his way. I mean, I think the expectation now is, I guess what we said going into the year, like that they need from him, they need a 60-point season from him, 60, 65 points. I think he's in great shape to do that.
Yeah, I think he's in great shape to do that, too. The stat that I came across yesterday that – is interesting. And this stat, you know, it's not foolproof by any stretch of the imagination. How many game-winning goals do you think Matt Duchene had in his first 2 years here with the Predators? So not goals in general. Game-winning goals for the first 2 seasons.
I mean, I would guess like 3.
He had 1.
Wow.
He had one game-winning goal in his first two seasons with the Predators. He's got three already this year. Now, again, that stat's not perfect, and if you score, you know, the second goal of the game,
yeah, right,
and you end up winning 2-1, like, you're the game-winning goal. Okay, cool.
But still,
you could score the fourth goal of the game and win, you know, 7-3, and you've still got the game-winning goal.
You'd think that you'd back into a few of those over 2 years. Yeah.
But he's already got three, including a couple in overtime,
actual game winners.
Walk-off game-winning goals.
Do you think any less of those goals because they're in 3-on-3?
No. Just shoot, man.
I mean, they're game winners, man.
Yeah.
In overtime. So, no, it's been awfully impressive. Vingan has a piece on this, which I haven't read yet, but he wrote about him and that too today. And it's the story around this team right now. Number one story, right? It's Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
And it's refreshing that there's just a different narrative around him and Ryan Johansson, because it's like, you know, Vrabel after the game the other day, like, you got to come up with some different questions. Like, you know, I don't know, or just don't ask questions. It's like the same thing. I mean, it was getting very Groundhog Day with Johansson and Duchene.
Yep.
And just like you said earlier with the kind of on the mental health conversation, but the discussion around those guys, like this idea that they would just be like, I'm just not going to play. Yeah. I got my money. I mean, they're in a public jobs. Like, you think they think they're not competitors? I mean, how do you even get to professional sports if you aren't a serious competitor?
No, I agree. And I think that conversation is flat out ludicrous sometimes in the world of sports. I guess my question is, like, what's the difference? Like, why is he so much better this year than he has been? I mean, look, we've seen Matt Duchene play well throughout his career, and he's had stretches where he's been an incredibly productive player. I would put the stretch he's in right now right up there with any stretch we've seen out of Matt Duchene in his career. You know, the easy answer is, you know, some of the luck's starting to go his way. I mean, a 20.5% shooting percentage is pretty unreal, and that's going to come back down to earth at some point. But I guess what's the difference in the way that he's playing, and why has it been the case where that's been so effective for him early on? And to my point earlier in the segment, like, yes, the production is probably going to slow down at some point, but the way you're playing, that doesn't have to slow down. And that's going to be interesting to see when that time comes, and it will come at some point, where he goes through a 4 or 5 game stretch and he doesn't have a point. How do you play? How does that affect the way that you approach the rest of the season? I'm interested to see the way that happens, but I mean, you can't be anything but, I think, really encouraged right now if you're a Predators fan based on the way that he's played thus far.
Yeah. Vingan has a whole bunch of stats I don't understand in this story about his. But I guess that they sort of add up to, you know, to quote this, has dialed up the aggressiveness, using his speed more effectively to generate off the rush and infiltrate high percentage scoring areas, end quote. And, you know, a lot of the numbers. So here's a number, 3.64 goals above expected. So that, to me, is impressive, but also it's a little bit of, so just don't expect this to, you know, to stay at this level the whole way.
Right. I mean, look, it's not going to, but I think it's also, I mean, at this point, he's got 16 points in 15 games. If you would have told a Predators fan before the season, say, hey, Matt Duchene's going to end up with 45 points this year. He's going to have, you know, 18 to 19, 20 goals, and he's going to have 20, 25 assists. Do you think Predators fans would have taken that before the season? Because I do.
Yep.
I think they absolutely would have. I mean, right now, with the way he started off the season, like, his 55, 60, 65 points, really that unrealistic? I don't think so. And that is, I think, a really good season for Matt Duchene that you take all day long if you're a Predators fan.
No doubt. By the way, so he apparently, this is the fifth best 15-game start in Preds history. Do you know who's number one?
In terms of points?
Points in through 15 games of a Preds season.
I mean, my guess is Korea, but I don't know that to be the case for sure.
Steve Sullivan with 20 in the 06-07 season.
Okay. So his line mate that year. Pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good team.
Yeah.
06-07 team.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You could still make a case that's the most talented group they've ever had. They've had a couple in the last 5-6 years that obviously gave that a run, but that's a pretty good team. Shea Weber.
Pretty good, yeah, pretty good defense pair there.
Yeah, so. Kimo Timonen. A lot of good stuff
Not
there.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live tomorrow night on 102.5 The Game. Speaking of 0607, with special guests David Legwand and Scott Hamilton. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Get his thoughts on the Titans and all things NFL. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save